So this morning, we are concluding our series, the stress factor series that we've been doing in the month of June. And the main premise of stress factors is this: we all experience times of great stress. You might be in a season of stress right now. Life feels chaotic and just overwhelming. And we looked at the fact that stress, though, is a result. It's not a cause itself. It's a fruit, not a root. And the root problems that we've been looking at that cause stress in our life was, we looked at worry, and then we looked at busyness, and then last week we talked about failure, and today we're going to talk about fear. And you may think to yourself, aren't worry and fear the same thing? They're actually not. Worry is you and your mind trying to control circumstances or control people. Fear can become so ingrained in you that it becomes your identity as a fearful person. And I think God has a message for all of us this morning. I love movies and I love stories about courage. I love movies and stories about the underdog. I think that's what makes me such a great Rockies fan, right? We're always the underdog. But, you know, and I was thinking, I love stories where a bully gets stood up to. You like those kind of movies? You can relate. A bully gets stood up to. Hopefully the bully repents before he gets what's coming to him, but often he's got to get what's coming to him before he recognizes what he's been doing. And no one likes a bully. And so I got to thinking about like some famous movie bullies. And so we're going to play Name That Bully for a second, okay? Name That Bully. Let's put the first one up. Who knows who that is? Wow, Nurse Ratched. From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So if you're old enough to remember that, I am. And it was Jack Nicholson's, one of his first movies. She was a bully in, I think that moth's trying to be a bully too, but we won't worry about it. How about the next one? Name That Bully. At least you didn't say Woody. remember, this was the very first Toy Story. That was Sid, and he was the one that was terrorizing the toys in the story. And it's funny, like when you see the graphics from that then into like Toy Story 3, times have really changed. How about the next one? Who knows who that is? Buzz from Home Alone. He was the big brother that liked to pick on his little brother. How about the next one? Karate Kid. I think his name was Johnny Lawrence. Johnny, get him a body bag. That dude in the background there. And then he got craned at the end, remember? But bam, he went down. All right, the most famous bully of all time, Biff Tannen, right? Back to the Future. Why don't you make like a tree and leave? I think he said. Yeah, we all said that when we watched the movie too. Bullies try to intimidate. That's their whole goal, is to try to usurp power over the timid. They prey on timid people. Bullies look for people who won't fight back. Bullies are everywhere. I mean, bullies are in schools, obviously. It's a huge bullying problem. Bullies are in neighborhoods. How many had a neighborhood bully growing up, right? And then even in churches can have bullies. There's theological and religious bullies sometimes that try to bully people around and intimidate with their knowledge or whatever they appear as knowledge. And I was thinking about bullies. I thought of this story that happened in my life. When I was at the end of seventh grade, my parents decided to move to Athens, Georgia. So I'd lived in Colorado all my life to that point. We moved to Athens for eighth grade and half of ninth grade. I went to Clark Middle School. I remember showing up not knowing a soul. Is that the worst feeling in the world when you are the new kid on the block there? You're the new kid in school, didn't know anybody. And I remember there was the first day I got on the school bus, there was this kid named Ben, and he tried to bully me this first day. I was, if you can believe this, I was actually really shy as a kid. Like I didn't talk much, and I know it's hard for you to believe that, but I didn't. I didn't talk much. I was kind of just, wasn't timid, but I just was shy. And so he tried to pick on me, and I decided, you know what? If he does that again, he's going to get it. I made up my mind. Sure enough, maybe a week later, I'm in art class, and I'm over washing my paintbrushes out and cleaning it out, and he comes over and he just shoves me and says, "Get out of my way." So, bam, I drilled him right in the nose, and he, I looked up, and blood's coming out of his nose, and he's got this look on his face like, I picked on the wrong person here. You know, I did, had no idea that, that was coming. And this was the day and age that, so we both ended up having to go to the principal's office. And this big, huge assistant principal got out this big wooden paddle. We got paddled, and I had to, you know, get on his desk like this. Okay, and so he got in trouble for starting it. I got in trouble for finishing it, and I got paddled three times. And on the third one, it was like, he didn't hit me on the butt cheeks. He hit me on the kidney. And I remember like, ooh, you know. But anyway, he called my dad and said, your son got paddled. And I went home, and my dad was like, well, what'd you do? And I said, well, this kid was trying to bully me, and I popped him. He said, good job. I didn't get in any trouble at all. So before you go leaving this building saying, Pastor Scott said it's okay to punch people in the face if they bully you, that's not the point of telling you that story at all. The point of the story is we need to stand up for ourselves. We need to learn how to stand up against bullies in our life. And you're going to see why here in just a second. Because, and I'm not saying this day and age, don't punch somebody in the face, period, right? And we know what Jesus said about turn the other cheek. I don't know if a 13-year-old boy understands turn the other cheek like, you know, a grown-up does, but we could talk about that later if you want to over coffee. But I just learning how to stand up for yourself is very, very important in your life. God wants us to trust him and to stand up to fear. He wants us to understand his victory and to understand what he's done for us and who he is for us in fighting our fears. In fact, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Do you know that over 365 times in the Bible, God tells us to fear not, don't be afraid, etc. There's like a fear not for every day, one for every day of the year to think about. We were talking about the fears on that video and all the different things that are there. God has, whatever you're fearing today, God has an answer for it. A couple thoughts about fear that I want to kind of dig into for a moment is this, and I've been talking about this already, that fear is an intimidator, and it's a bully that needs to be dealt with. Biff Tannen needed to be dealt with. Johnny Lawrence, or whatever the heck his name is, all those people, they need to be dealt with. Fear is a bully in your life and in mine that's trying to intimidate you and cause stress in your life. Now, when I was telling you the story about popping the kid in the face, I'm not, you know, bragging about that or anything like that. I do know this, that it set a precedent in my life that I wasn't going to be picked on. I wasn't going to be bullied. There's something to that. You know, in all those stories, like, remember how when Marty McFly drilled Biff and he ended up, when he got went back to the future or whatever, he was a different person. Because, and the moral of that story is standing up to your fears or standing up to what's bullying you. I want you to write down right now on your notes, write down your fears. Write down what are some of your biggest fears in your life right now. Your fears could be a feeling. Your fears could be job, money, health, people, relationship. Write that down, because I want you to be thinking about that throughout this message this morning. And whatever you're writing down or thinking of, those fears need to be stood up to. Those fears are bullying your life, and that bully needs to be dealt with. And we have a savior, a big brother, if you will, that has our back, that we need not even throw a punch or anything like that to these fears, but let Jesus truly teach us how to handle it. The devil's a bully. We see that throughout the scriptures. Satan is a bully, and he bullies. One of his number one tactics in bullying us is through fear, to make us afraid and to not understand God. And so it's important that we get that. So the second thing is this, is fear tends to blow things out of proportion. Tends to blow things out of proportion. It makes circumstances, it makes people bigger and more scary than they actually are. Fear can be crippling. It's very humbling. People who struggle with fear get crippled and humiliated by it often. And fear is a major source of stress. So how do we stand up to this bully called fear? Well, we're gonna look at one of the most famous bully stories ever, and it's the story of David and Goliath. And I was talking to Janelle on the way to church this morning. Like, I've probably read and heard messages on this over and over and over and over, and I got such new truth in studying this and preparing what I feel like God has for us this morning. And as we look at this story, I want you to, whatever fears you wrote down, every time we talk about Goliath, I want you to think of your fear and how do you stand up to this big bad bully called fear. And we'll just call our fears Goliath right now in our lives. In the story of David and Goliath, God preserved these stories for us. He preserved all the stories of the Old Testament to encourage us to understand how God deals with people, how God deals with situation. And these stories are not to make heroes out of people. These stories are there so that we get to know God and we get to know who is truly for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So that's the point of this. Now, in chapter 17, it starts out with, it says that the Philistines set up camp. They set up their troops right on the border of Israel. And they were there to try to intimidate Israel. Are they attacking us? Or are we getting ready for battle? And it says that they had a champion named Goliath. And he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's a big dude. Get him on your basketball team. But he's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He was huge. He had body armor made of copper that nothing, spears could not pierce. He was basically unstoppable. And he was an intimidating dude that people would see. And it says that for 40 days, he came out every day and he would defy the army of Israel. And he would say, if one of you can defeat me, then we will serve you. But if I beat your best soldier, then you will serve us. And he did this for 40 days. And on the 40th day, we read that King David, who was just David then, he wasn't king yet, he had been anointed king a few chapters earlier because Saul, who was the king at the time, had sinned and God was removing him to be the king of Israel. And so he goes and anoints this little shepherd boy named David and says, he's going to be the king. He's going to do everything that I ask of him. And so David's not even at the battlefield. He's shepherding the sheep back home. And his dad, Jesse, because all his brothers were out at the battle, says, here, I want you to take all this food. I want you to take these goods and get them up to your brothers and get it up to the troops. So David takes all this stuff up to where, the armies are. And he hears Goliath's threat. And it's interesting. It was the 40th day that Goliath had made his threats. Now, the number 40 throughout the Bible is very significant. Noah was in the ark for 40 days, Noah and his family, and on the 40th day, they were out. If you remember, this story, Moses in the wilderness, 40 years. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. So the symbolism of 40 is a time of trial and a day of deliverance on that 40th day. You see that throughout the scriptures. And so on this 40th day, David hears him, seeing him threaten everybody. Here's what it says about the fear that was coming on them. It says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and they were terrified. Well, why were they terrified? 9 feet 9, the best soldier in the world that you could ever dream up, that you couldn't even make him on a computer. He was so awesome, right? And here he was. And I want to give a visual of how big Goliath was compared to David. Corey and Carson, will you guys come up here? There's some steps right there. You can do that. Easy step for Corey. Corey's the tallest guy in the church, so they graciously came. Scoot over this way a little bit. So David was not a very big guy. Carson, come over here. So here's David, handsome and ruddy, a shepherd boy. There's Goliath. Corey's a big dude. Would you like to fight Corey in real life?
I'm good.
He said, I'm good. I would be good too. So look at the height difference. Now go stand back to back. Turn your... That's what we're talking about, people. Like, that's how big this was and how... No wonder they were intimidating. Thank you, guys. Carson, here, I got this for you. The best part of waking up, look in there. It's soldiers in your cup. Show them your soldiers. Sorry, Corey, I didn't get you anything. Thank you, guys, for that visual illustration. David didn't look for this fight. This fight found him. God had ordained this for him. And sometimes the bullies in your life are going to find you. You didn't look for it. It finds you. God wants you to be prepared. He wants me to be prepared when this happens. So why was David courageous? Because we know how the story goes. Why was he courageous? This is the first thing I want you to write down. Is we need, if we're going to stand up to the bully called fear, we need to find out who God says he is and what he's promised. We need to find out who God says he is and what he's promised. Now, David was a man after God's heart. The scripture says that God said, I found a man after my heart who will do all that I ask him to do. And we talked about last week that David wasn't flawless. He was a sinner in need of Jesus just like all of us. But being a man after his own heart, how do we be men and women after God's heart? It's take him at his word. Believe he is who he is and what he's promised to be and do for each one of us. That's important. And David, he knew the stories of deliverance. He knew the story of Moses. He knew the stories of Abraham. He had that ingrained in him. He had experienced it himself. So he took God at his word. And it's important when you read through the Psalms, David wrote the majority of the Psalms. And the Psalms are prayers and songs from David's heart to God and about God. And God preserved those for us to read and to be encouraged. And to, when we don't know what to pray or how to pray through those Psalms. Look what it says in Psalm 18. Here's what David knew about God. I love you, Lord. You're my rock, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I call on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from all my enemies. David knew who God was, and he knew who God had promised to be for him. He was a man after his heart because he took him at his word. You got to start lining this truth up to your fears. I got to start lining this up to the things that are bullying me in my life in fears. Here's what he says in Psalm 56. He says, my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? It's the heart of a courageous warrior that understood what God had promised. Now, this is important. You've probably heard this before. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's persevering in spite of your fear. To be courageous doesn't mean you're never going to feel fear. I'm sure David looked at him and thought, whoa, that's a big man. You know, God, I know you're in this, but I mean, it doesn't mean he didn't have any feelings of fear ever. We need to know how to do battle with our fear and not try to just make it go away, but to know why we can overcome those fears. That's very, very important as we understand that. It's persevering in spite of it. I remember the first time after I was a very new Christian, 25 years old, and I got invited by my dad and brother to go share the gospel in the Denver City County in jail on a Sunday afternoon after church. They said, you want to go do that? I said, sure, I'll go watch you do it. I'd be glad to watch you do that. And so I went along, and all of a sudden we get there, and they say, we don't have enough guys to go into all the cell blocks today, so Scott, you're going to have to go on your own. What? I barely know anything, but Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me, so that's about what I had. And I said, okay. I was scared, but I was going to persevere in spite of that fear. And I went into this cell block and looked around at all these people. And I was white suburban dude. And there was some tough hombres in this cell block. And I'm like, yeah, Jesus, he loves you guys. I just began to share what happened to me. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. On the other side of it, it wasn't that scary. Lots of things could have happened, but it began something in my life to you know what? Spiritually speaking, I want to be courageous. And I want to know God more. And so the more you know God and the more you exercise courage, the less fear-driven you'll be and the more God-driven you'll be. Second thing is this. If we're going to stand up to the bully called fear, we need to figure out who we should really fear. We find out who God says he is and what he's promised, and then we figure out who we're really going to fear. David, in verse 32, heard those threats, and everybody was cowering down in fear, and he stands up and says, I'll fight him. I got this. And he feared. David, you can write this down, David was confident in the face of fear because he feared the Lord. He figured out who he was going to truly fear. He wasn't going to fear people or circumstances. He was going to walk in the fear of the Lord. And David said this, he wrote this in Psalm 111 verse 10. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. To fear the Lord is to stand in awe of him. It's to reverence who he is. It's to understand how big and awesome and mighty he is. That he has no beginning. He has no end. He spoke creation into existence. He knows everything from eternity past into eternity future. He's amazing. He's awesome. And to fear him is to know his majesty. I've been praying the fear of the Lord over my kids since they were born, that they would walk in the fear of the Lord, that God would impart the fear of the Lord. Pray that over your kids, that they would walk in the fear of the Lord, because if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we want our kids to walk wiser than we did, right? And that they would make, wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective. That's what wisdom really is. What is life and purpose and all this from God's perspective? Well, when we fear the Lord, we walk in wisdom, we make better decisions, we make good choices, we honor God with our lives. It's important that we get that. A lot of us in this room, and I would include myself deeply, we fear people way too much. I do. I don't fear that somebody's going to beat me up, but I want your approval, and you want somebody else's approval. You want your boss's approval. We want acceptance. And so when we fear people more than we fear God, we kind of do some dumb things sometimes. It'll cause us to cower down to our values, our principles, or sometimes even what we think God might be speaking to us. All the young people in this room, ask God to help you to fear him more than you would ever fear your peers, more than you would ever fear fellow students or somebody else that's trying to cause you to make bad choices or derail your life. And when you fear people more than you fear God, it leads us down a wrong path. It says in Proverbs 29, verse 23, it says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So when we fear people more than we fear God, it's like that trap that you walk into, all of a sudden you're hanging upside down and you're somebody's prey. So when we fear man too much, that's what happens to us in our life. That's why we make the choices that we do sometimes. David understood the fear of the Lord. He said this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And you think of Jesus. And I think of Jesus talking to his disciples. And they walked with him for 3 years. He called them and walked with him. And they saw him do miracles. And they saw him do signs and wonders and preach the gospel and saw his power. And Jesus kind of gave them a little forewarning on this scripture in Luke here. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So Jesus told his disciples. He was giving them a forewarning of what was possibly going to happen to them. We know in the book of Acts that they were beaten, stoned, beat up for preaching the gospel, for doing miracles. And, you know, prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, there was a lot of hot air in the disciples. Post-resurrection and ascension, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, man, they were abandoned unto the kingdom of God. They were abandoned unto just doing what God had called them to do and to be who God said that they were. And you know that of all the disciples, they all died brutal martyr deaths. So Jesus was warning them, listen, don't fear when they threaten you that they're going to take your life. Listen, fear me, fear him. I'm going to take you into eternity, and you're going to have a crown of glory that you get to throw at my feet for all eternity. And so it's important that we don't fear people in any way, but that we learn to fear the Lord. And then another key important in this is that David refused to listen to competing voices. In verse 33, after David says he will fight the Goliath, after he says he'll do that, Saul goes, are you kidding me? You're a little boy. He's going to squash you. That's my translation there. He will squash you. And David says, no, I have the Lord on my side. And so there's this competing voices in our lives that are telling us, you can't do that. Don't let other people tell you you can't do what God's called you to do or be who God's already promised you could be. Don't let those competing voices, you know, derail you from God's purpose and plan. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not just some quick, cool verse to say after you win a game or something like that. If God calls you to do something, he's going to give you the power to do it. I can do anything that God calls me to do through Christ who gives me strength. I remember years ago, I was washing dishes. Yes, I was washing dishes. And I was looking out my kitchen window, and I just started dreaming in my mind a little bit. I started dreaming about this. I saw an ovation. This was years ago. And I saw people coming to Christ who didn't know Christ. I saw people who had had bad experience with church coming into community. I saw relationships. I saw a community of people who were messy and real with one another and real with God. And I started dreaming about planting a church. And I heard a voice in my head, as loud as you're hearing my voice right now. It wasn't audible, but I heard, if you do that, I'll ruin your life. I was like, who's that? It was that weird. And it was the voice of the enemy trying to intimidate me with fear. He did try to ruin my life. But God always gets the last words. He always gives us new life and a new start. And that's what he's done. And I've seen him work his power. Here's the third thing I want you to write down. If you're going to stand up to that bully called fear, work out your faith and courage muscles. Work out your faith and courage muscles. Says, I want you to write this down too. David was courageous in the face of fear because he exercised his faith beforehand. He had already exercised his faith. David had told Saul, after Saul told him, you can't do that, he said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of a lion and the paw of a bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. He'll rescue me from Goliath. David had fought bears and won. Anybody ever fought a bear and won? I mean, he fought a lion and won. He was a shepherd, so every time these animals, they were coming to try to get a meal off of his sheep, David had to fight him with his bare hands. Now, I'm sure the first time David fought a lion and won, he probably had to change the old underwear. He had to change his tunic. I mean, he was a little bit scared. He was going like, wow, the Lord just empowered me to overtake a lion. But in doing that, he realized who God was and who God had promised to be. And so for us, we need to learn, and the more we exercise courage in the face of our fear, the less our fears have power over us. David drew on the experience that he had before. Faith and courage is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised. If you're waiting to have your faith grow or you're be more courageous for God and in life, it's not just going to happen. He doesn't just zip and zap you in the microwave and, hey, I'm faith and courage. No, you have to exercise it. Step out in faith. Learning to share your faith with somebody that doesn't know Christ, it's scary the first time because we all fear man and we fear rejection and all these other things. But the more you do it, the less fearful it becomes in our life. Me in the jail, you know, 20-something years ago, I'm not afraid anymore. I was very afraid the first time I stepped out. So it's important that we understand that. And I was thinking through this when I coached middle school football for 3 years. And the first 2 years, we were like 0-10, 1-9, and then we were 7-1-1. And I had a group of sixth graders, and then seventh graders, they became eighth graders. In the first 2 years, we got killed. Like, we were in the wrong league with big boys, and most of my kids had never even played football before this year. And like, I'd have parents look at me like, don't put my son in, please, for the love of God, do not put my son in that game, because they were getting killed. And there was this little dude, the smallest guy on the team, Zach. And I mean, I could still see his little face with his mouthpiece in and his little helmet. Kids are cute, man. They got little helmets and mouthpieces. And Zach goes, put me in, coach. I'll do it. Put him out there. Boom. He'd get run over. He played cornerback. He'd get back up. Coach, I want to stand. Coach, I want to stand. Boom. Coach, I'm standing. Don't take me out. And I was like, your parents are going to hate me for leaving you in this game. Well, at the end of the season, I gave out awards. And I gave him the Lionheart Award for courage. And he quit playing football after that. You know, he was done. Probably a smart decision. But I found out that today he's an Army Ranger, that he had joined the military. So he had gone on, and he's still exercising courage in a different way, not on a football field. So it's those little things that we do in our life that when we exercise courage, it just continues to grow in our lives. Last thing is this. When we stand up to the bully called fear, I would tell you this. You find out who God is, who he has promised to be. Figure out who you're truly going to fear. And then you work out your faith and courage muscles, and then you call out your biggest fears. Call out your biggest fears. David, when he saw the Philistine, when he saw Goliath, he said, "You uncircumcised Philistine, you're going down today in the name of the Lord. Let's do this." He called out Goliath. When my kids were young, I remember like I would always like act out Bible stories with them and to teach them like stories from the Old Testament. So we would not just read it, but we would act it out. And I remember I was Goliath and Chase was David. And I got down on my knees. I was still like 2 feet taller than her, but and she would like pretend like she had this, and we would act out those stories. And one time she was Goliath and I was David. And she goes, you know, because in the story, Goliath says, you know, to David, he says, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? You know, who do you think you are? I'm 9 feet 9 inches tall, you know." And Chase goes, "Am I a stick that I come at you with dogs?" And we laugh, right? We still like joke about that today. "Am I a stick?" I was like, really scary. But he got a dog flipping out. I think for us, it's important to remember what happened here. David called him out. Goliath thought he was just going to make a meal out of David, and he runs at him. And we remember earlier in the story that Saul said, "Okay, if you're going to fight him here, put my armor on." And his armor didn't work for him. He was like, "I'm not you, Saul. I need to fight this battle my own way." And maybe that happens in your life. Somebody's trying to mold you to be them, and God's saying, "I want you to be who I created you to be." And so David got those 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in his sack. You know the story. He had a sling, Goliath was running at him. That stone hit him right in the forehead. He went down. David ran over, cut his head off. That was probably quite the sight. Like, sorry for the PG-13/Braveheart moment, but that's the Bible, man. I'm not going to apologize for what's in the Bible. And he cut off his head. And you know what it says? It says, when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. He called out the biggest one and said, you, I'm bringing you down. And the rest of those little Philistines ran. What did you write down that's your fear today? What is that biggest fear in your life? When you call out that biggest fear, the others are going to run. Those smaller fears in your life, those smaller things will run. I love the movie Joe Somebody. Tim Allen, I don't know if you remember this movie, but Joe Somebody, Tim Allen plays a guy that takes his daughter to work one day, and he gets picked on in the parking lot by a guy and actually gets slapped in front of his daughter. And he cowered down in fear, and it ended up causing him to go in a deep depression. And then he gets this idea, you know what, I'm going to train and I'm going to fight this guy. And he goes and calls him out one day. And the guy's like, oh, you want to fight? Okay, we'll fight. And they pick a day to go. It's like little kids, you know, in third grade. I'll meet you at the playground after school kind of thing. And they had a date set for when they were going to fight. And Tim Allen, through all his training, Joe, his name was Joe, he ends up not even having to fight. The fact that he was able to call him out and say, I'm not afraid anymore, he didn't need to fight. I think that's the moral of the story for all of us. We don't have to stay fighting or in a position of fighting. When you're not afraid, it changes everything, and God wants that for us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your fear on one side over here. Put your fear over here, and then the character of God, the attributes of God, the promises of God. Maybe your fear over here is your health right now. God says he's the healer. Maybe your fear over here is your finances or lack of. God says he's your provider. Maybe your fear is loneliness. God says, never will I leave or forsake you. Maybe it's the fear of death. God's the deliverer. Jesus conquered death. Our warrior, savior conquered death. I said this last week, but it's important that we remember that David was hoping in Jesus. Every time they did an animal sacrifice, every time he prayed, he was hoping in the cross. He was just looking forward to it. We look back to the cross and to the finished work of Jesus. Jesus was hoping, David was hoping in the one who faced and conquered the biggest Goliath ever, sin, death, and the devil. He went toe-to-toe, and it wasn't even a match. It doesn't mean Jesus in his humanity didn't have any kind of fear. We see his humanity, but he, in courage, showed us that. And he died for us. He died for that bully called fear in our life so that we could be free. He did that for us. That's the gospel. Jesus ultimately conquered the things in our life that cause us fear. So for every fear, there's a promise of God. And you need to exercise some faith today and say, God, I'm going to believe you. And in spite of my fears, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to learn and grow in you today. Today, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, you've never put your faith and trust in him and believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead to show that sin had been forgiven and triumphed over, today's the day to say, you know what? I'm going to put my faith in you, Jesus. I'm going to repent from living a self-centered life and build my life on you. You can do that today just by inviting him into your life. We want to help you as a church. So if that's you today, we're going to have some folks up here in just a second that can answer questions. But I want to pray. Almighty God, thank you for your gospel. And thank you for your truth that sets us free, truly set free, Lord. Your truth sets us free from fear, sets us free from sin and the enemy and our fear of death and loneliness and all the things that are there, God. Thank you that you made a way that we do not have to be separated from you for all eternity, but we can be with you and know that absent from the body, present with the Lord. Today, God, I pray for those in this room that are wrestling with that or have not made that step. Lord, would you just, Holy Spirit, flood their hearts, flood their mind, open their hearts to your beauty and glory. God, we give you our fears today. All of our fears that are magnified by life and emotion. I pray for a fresh feeling of your spirit, fresh awareness and knowledge of who you are, Lord Jesus, in our life. Lord, we want to continue to find out who you say you are and what you've promised. We want to fear you more than we fear anybody or anything else. We're going to work out our faith and courage muscles, Lord. And then because of you, we can call out those biggest fears and say, here, Jesus, take it. So we do that today, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name.